Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, folks. Hello, hello. Here we are on the Monday night Regenesis Radio Show. And my favorite saying starting out this show is that going back to engineering days, a friend of mine was a senior engineer at the Hewlett-Packard printer. Company in Vancouver, Washington. And on his email it says, if we knew what we were doing, it wouldn't be engineering. And that's the same with this show. If we knew what we were doing, it wouldn't be the same. So we got a couple of callers here. I'm going to bring them in and say hello. Hello, hello.
How are we doing?
Glenn, hello. You're the Glenn? Glenn is Glenn there.
Yes, I am.
Hello, Glenn. Earth to Glenn.
Whoa. So you think
yeah,
you
we got I think it's Travis.
Heaven from
hell. We're going to pull him in here. Hello, Travis.
Blue
hello,
skies
hello.
From pain. Can you tell a green field?
Travis, you're on air.
From a cold steel rail. A smile from a veil.
Remember, folks. Remember what we were doing.
Did they get you to train?
It wouldn't be engineering.
Your heroes for ghosts. Hot ashes for trees. Hot air for a cool breeze. Cold comfort for change. Did you exchange? Walk on par.
Are we still there? Hello, Glenn.
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
All right. Well, we're alive and well, then.
We're alive. We're alive and kicking. What do you know?
Just another Monday night in paradise.
That's right. Monday night here in Florida. Nothing to do but sit here on the beach and drink silly little drinks with twirly umbrellas. Because life is beautiful all the time. So we sit here in our happy white coats.
You know, I look at the chaos and calamity in family courts throughout the country, not only in Florida or the 12th Circuit, but there's a common denominator, and it's corruption. And that seems to trump everything else, our constitutional rights. It seems to trump our parenting plans. It seems to trump restitution we can get for wrongdoing. It just trumps everything. Corruption in the courts.
Yeah, it seems to be rampant.
So now, one judge has been held accountable, not one high conflict attorney, not one guardian ad litem, not any of the players, and we've been played.
Right.
So I know.
Yeah,
I've been at it 15 years. Gary, you've been at it 18. I mean, and we're just a drop in the ocean of corruption. How many opt out after the first court hearing? How many opt out after the first, supervised visitation? How many opt out after, their 4 days a month? How many opt out because they can't fund it? How many opt out because they're worn out? And the ultimate opt out is when they commit suicide.
Yeah. Yeah, I was just thinking about that. You know, what about our friend up in St. Pete, his little brother? You know, it wasn't that long ago. It was only a few years ago.
Yep.
You know, just a regular dad, trying to get by, trying to make it work.
So I don't know how you get the ball rolling. I don't see any intervention. I don't see any magic bullet. I just don't see any relief coming. And there have been some great efforts by groups far more powerful than us and far more deeper pockets than us. And they have not scratched the surface yet. So, how big is that evil? It's catastrophic evil. They take no prisoners and leave you by the wayside. So,
yeah.
And
yeah,
it would be interesting to see the effects of dads coming this Sunday. How many went on a drinking binge or popped some pills or were Baker acted or were arrested because of the anxiety and stress of not seeing their children on Father's Day? And ultimately, I guarantee you, across this country, and, Australia and England, they've got their family rights issues as well. There are going to be a number of suicides as well on Father's Day.
Yeah, we can count on it.
I mean, if that's not
very true,
the ultimate statement, I don't know what is. And they just, brush it aside like it's a little brush fire. So I blame the press. I really do. I mean, they're out there for sensationalism, high profile criminal cases, murder cases, embezzlement cases, Stormy Daniel cases, all the sensational stuff. And if they were to put that same effort into straightening out the corruption of the judiciary, that would make a huge dent. But again, in the last 20 years, I haven't seen many organizations step up to the plate. And if they do, there's really not any follow-up. It's a one-hit wonder. And people go, ooh, no, it's terrible. And then it fades away.
Yeah, it's gone in a year.
Yeah, there's no continuing progress in the fight. So I don't know what the answer is. Maybe there isn't any.
Well, I'm going to take a minute here to defer to the churches here for a minute. A lot of us, this generation, we grew up in one kind of church, or the other. And most of us know enough about the Ten Commandments that says, honor your father and mother, And so what we have seen for about the last 30 or 40 years in the churches is that Father's Day comes along and there's the pastor or whoever he is, up for the in front of the podium, and he decides, he's going to straighten out these dads, these deadbeat dads that are drinking and hanging around and no good. And so he's up there, and every year, the dads are a good soft target, so he's up there beating the hell out of dads, and personally, I've had enough of it. I don't want to hear about it anymore. What I want to hear is that, if they're going to beat up the dads, then I'm going to hand it right back to them and say, okay, churches, okay, pastors, okay, priests, okay, rabbis, what are you doing to help out our kids and our families? What about, every year we hear about, and this is going to be real politically incorrect, but we hear about women's this and women's that and women's programs and women's, schools and women's courses in college, but we don't hear anything about men's programs, very little, almost nothing. And then they turn around, every Father's Day and we get beat up, because we're invisible. Well, I got a challenge, for the priests, for the pastors, for the rabbis, for everybody else and the women out there. Why don't you step up to the plate and reinforce and stand up for the family, which includes dads and the kids? The kids have a right to two parents, mother and father. We are assigned from the beginning of time to honor our mother and father, not split them up, not turn them into enemies. Dads in this day and age have become a real soft target. They're real easy to beat up on because you can find problems coming out of their ears. And not all of them are true. Some of them are, but not all of them are. But there's a lot of healing and a lot of straightening out what the truth is and what the real restorative justice issues are here that we need to address. In my opinion, that's what I've seen. I'm going to be 65 here, in about a month. Well, that's my story and I'm sticking to it. What do you think?
As our children age out, they age out of our relationships as well. The alienation has been set, and often that ship can never turn around. Just keeps on sailing away.
Right. Yeah, and that's what's happening more and more. We hear this song and dance, well, someday they'll come back. you know, just open your hand and let the bird fly free and they'll come back to you. You know what I say to that? Horseshit. Bullshit.
Yep.
You let the bird fly free, he's going to fly off and never come back.
Yeah, there are no safeguards to bite this in the ass right when it starts. It all just continues down the black hole until the money runs out, or you're broken, or you know, there's not one judge that I've seen in 15 years ever had the balls to say, you know what? Here's what needs to go on. Equal parenting time, right up front, we'll discuss the money in a month after each parent has had equal time with the children. And then we'll come back and revisit if the mom can make it, or she needs a little help, or we're good with everything, they both have good jobs. Not once ever heard that conversation. And I don't think I ever will.
No.
Because it would kill the cash cow. It would kill. We got
a caller. See if we can. Hang on, Glenn. We got a caller here. Let's see if we can bring him in. Ends in 2088. Hello, caller. Hello. 2088.
Yeah, that's me, Gary.
All right. You know, we get traveled.
But I've barely been listening. I was changing my clothes, so I apologize. I haven't heard the last 5 minutes.
Well, that's okay. It's probably a little TMI. You're on the air.
Yeah.
Good thing we can't see anything.
Right.
So what do you know? You're out there in the left upper corner of the country. We're in the right lower corner.
What was the question that you were looking for?
Say what?
What was the question you were looking for?
We're talking about Father's Day coming up here, and that's going to be Sunday. So, you know, we were just doing our usual pre-Father's Day rant, you know, complaining about being the shithole of society as a dad.
Well, I'll tell you the story that I literally just got off the phone with my ex-wife, and I have two children, and one of them turned 18 back in August and moved in with me in September.
Wow.
And she said, well, hey, let's come up with a private agreement between you and I about child support so we don't have to do this through the state anymore, because you're paying, you know, $416.78 a month, and that's not right that you should pay that for one child when that's what you're supposed to pay for two. I said, okay, that sounds good. So I thought, okay, well, what's half of $416.78? Well, $208. And I said, well, $200 is easier to pay than $208, but I'm not going to quibble $8. And she goes, well, I was thinking $300 because he's, you know, 16 and he's really expensive now. And I just wanted to go, oh, you mean like how? She's like, well, that would be cheaper than what the courts are going to say. I said, well, probably not, considering that you moved my children 9 hours away from me and into another state without giving me proper notification.
You know,
so even after 16 years, I'm still dealing with the same crap that I dealt with way back when.
Hey, Travis.
Yeah.
This is Glenn. Can you hear me okay?
Barely, but yeah, I can hear you.
All right.
Yeah, if you can move closer to the mic, Glenn, that might help.
All right. Let me see if I can get my my mic in here. In any event, if I got the right one. I don't. All right, so here's what I would do. Your son, your 18-year-old son is living with you, correct?
I'm sorry, say that again?
Your 18-year-old son is living with you now, correct?
That is correct, yes.
Okay, so does he have any interest in going to a technical school or college?
No, and I've been trying to get him to go that direction for himself. He still doesn't even know what he wants to do with life.
Okay, well, if you can convince him, and I think it's a great idea and a great effort that you're doing, then you can revisit the courts and say, we're going to extend child support for 2 more years because my son wants to go to a vocational school or a junior college. And often the courts will enforce that. So if that were the case, then your child support would be a wash because she would have to pay for Travis and you would have to pay for the other one. And the judge would say, 300? No, not 3 cents. We're even here.
Yeah, well, it's a little bit different in that our child support was calculated when I was making, I think, $8 an hour 16 years ago. And it's never been adjusted since. And she moved out of the state without properly notifying either the court or myself. She's remarried. She's had, I think, 4 more children. And has never once attempted to assist me in having any type of relationship with my children. Constantly, we'd make plans, and then she'd turn and say, oh, well, I don't have gas money, so if you want your kids, you got to come get them. Well, it was 120 miles one direction to go get my kids. So it was darn near impossible, and now she lives, you know, it's like 600 miles or 700 miles away now. So
wow.
I haven't seen my youngest son in about a year because when my oldest son graduated, I drove out there to go see his graduation, and that was the last time I saw my youngest son, and she has made no efforts to help me see him, and it's been about once a year for the last 3-4 years that they've been living in Idaho that I get to see my kids.
What's your parenting plan? Don't you get 2 weeks in summer vacation, 2 weeks a month for 3 months
that
they're out of school?
Absolutely, and you would think that would be enough. Or you would think that the Washington State Law, RCW's Revised Code of Washington, states that you have to give 2 months' notice written in order to properly do that. Or if it's impossible to do so, you still have to give a notice both to the court and to the opposing parent. She gave me a text message 2 weeks before she moved.
Well, that's contempt,
and
Travis.
I told her to leave the kids with me. She said, no, I'm not going to do that.
It's contempt. Go back to the judge and say, Your Honor, no two,
oh, I,
2 months.
I, yeah. And I plan, if we ever go back to court, yeah, you bet your ass I'll be bringing all this stuff up.
How far is the courtroom?
Because that's what I've been looking at for years is the whole contempt of court issue.
Well, Gary and I are experts on it, and you can force the judge to acknowledge a contempt of court. As much as they hate to do it, you got the law on your side. You have a court order that spells this out in the parenting plan. They violated on this day. Judge, you signed the original order. Surely this is in contempt.
Well, and it's not just that. My child support was calculated before my oldest was even in preschool.
Well, if they're calculated,
so there is no school data entered into the parenting plan.
Well, I don't know how they. What state are you in?
Washington.
Washington, and the courthouse that had the original jurisdiction is where you live now?
No, actually, I just moved 250 miles east of that jurisdiction.
Well, you, did you give notice?
No, but I haven't left the state.
Okay. Well, I know in Florida, if it's over 50 miles, you have to give notice.
Yeah, and that's true. But when my son was already 700 and some odd miles away, I actually moved 250 miles closer to my children.
Wow.
And then here about 6 months ago, she moved another 2 hours farther away.
Well, I don't have to tell you it's a mess.
It's something I've been living with for, like I said, 16 years. 14 and a half, sorry. But, so we were talking about it, and she's trying to tell me that she wants, you know, more money because he's expensive as a teenager. And if we went to court, and I didn't want to get into an argument with her because, you know, I'm trying to actually get something accomplished. She doesn't seem to understand that it would effectively be where her income, her husband's income, all of the training that she's had as an office manager and as a bank teller, all of that stuff that she, you know, has would come into play in the fact that she's underemployed. And I could show that I'm still in the same working environment that I was when she and I got married. I'm still doing the same type of work. But here we are, you know, all these years later, and she's not living up to her end. And she ended up having, like I said, 3 or 4 more children on top of that, which was her choice. And I'm not financially responsible for those children. And so she would have to show that she's been doing everything she can in the best interest of the children and also meeting her obligations to me as a parent. And Gary and I have talked many, many times about the whole parent alienation issue.
Yeah, well, at this point, I would call her bluff and say, you're absolutely right, honey. I think we need to go back to court. I'm only a couple hundred miles from the jurisdiction, and you're out of state. So if you want to go back to court, call the JA, hire a local attorney, and then just let me know when that court date is, honey, and I'll be happy to drive the 200 miles and tell it to the judge and revisit this whole issue.
Yeah, because I'm also remarried, and I have 2 other teenage boys living in my house besides my oldest son, and I'm barely make ends meet here. And I'm taking care of somebody else's children who hasn't paid child support in the entire almost 7 years that I've been married to my wife. He hasn't paid a dime of child support. So I'm taking care of my child support issues, and I'm taking care of somebody else's children without being the child support being paid.
Were you going through, did they have a Washington State depository like Florida? You just send it to them and then they disperse it to her?
Kind of, yeah.
All right, so have they given you a release on the 18-year-old because he's aged out?
I don't believe they've given me that, no.
You need to look into that because there's...
Part of the issue is our child support form, our financial responsibility child support form, was a modified form. So they're actually telling me that I'm still responsible for paying the full $416.78, even though my oldest has graduated and is over the age of 18.
Wow.
Because they don't have a mechanism to in order to do that.
Well, what's your parenting plan say?
My parenting plan is so bare bones. It's so bare bones, it's not even funny. Like, I'm fairly certain I'm supposed to have Father's Day. I don't think I've had my children once on Father's Day in probably the last 10 years at least.
Well, here's what I would do. I would send her exactly half and put the other half in escrow. And say,
well, I can't do that because right now it's going through the state, and she would have to call the state and have it taken away from the state back to her. So she and I have to come up with an agreement.
No, listen, the state will send them whatever you state. You don't think there's dads out there that can't make it 1 month and they short their child support payment? They don't care.
Yeah, I know that, but they're already garnishing my wages. So the moment I go above board and start paying taxes, they go after my wages for the full amount plus arrears. I have no control over that. I have to go to court in order to change that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been playing this game a long time. I'm pretty familiar with what's going on.
Well, who agreed to this, keep it the same whether they age out or not? I mean, that's crazy.
It's not an agreement issue. It's a fact that the state law was written in such a way that the Child Support Enforcement Agency has written their own rules stating that if the form is modified, that it can't be then cut in half when a child turns 18. That wasn't my rule, and I didn't agree to it, and it wasn't in my parenting plan or my court documents, but it's part of their paperwork system.
Did a judge sign it?
You're failing to hear my point. There's no judge signing it because it's an internal policy for child support. I would have to go get a court order to go against that.
Yeah, but it wasn't a court order to begin with. No judge signed it.
There was a court order establishing child support responsibilities, yes.
At those terms?
I don't know if those terms were there at that time, but like any other regulating agency, they're going to make their own policy as they see fit, and you have to go get a court order to change that. Gary knows what I'm talking about.
Okay. All right.
Well, you know, there's something, you know, that I got a question about is that, as far as I know, 18 years old, you know, man, that's the date and time, you know, these kids, they turn into a pumpkin, you know, as far as child support goes. And I don't know exactly, you know, whether or not that's covered in the federal law, but I believe it is. And if it is, then that would be a reason to take this back into court, whether it be state level or even federal level. Because if they're still collecting child support in violation of federal law, they got a problem.
Yeah, no, I understand that. Part of the issue is that, it's just the way that it's all written, and you know, because like I said, my parenting plan was done when we lived 45 minutes apart, and about a year later, she moved 2 hours away and didn't give me proper notice, and I didn't know enough at the time to fight it. Two, she got remarried, which is a qualifying factor for reevaluating your child support. I didn't know it at the time. Then about 6 years later, she decided she wanted to move from Aberdeen, Washington, which is out by the ocean on the southwestern side of Washington, to central South Idaho in a little town called Burley, which is about an hour east of Twin Falls. Which is, like I said, it was like a 13-hour drive one direction to go see them. And, you know, it was once a year that I get to see them. And then when they would come to town, I'd have to take 2 days off of work because I was only allotted 24 hours to hang out with them before she had to take them and drive back to Twin Lakes. So I literally got to hang out with them for 24 to 30 hours once a year after they moved to Idaho. So my issues, I'm kind of sort of letting them just kind of progress the way they are so that if we ever do go back to court before my youngest turns 18, I'll have a boatload of ammunition to say, look, Your Honor, she has not followed one aspect of child support enforcement this entire time and has intentionally taken and blocked me from being with my kids by moving them, you know, 900 miles away and has made no efforts to facilitate me seeing or spending time with my kids because in my parenting plan, it says I get Father's Days. Well, like I said, I haven't had Father's Day with my kids, both my kids, in easily 10 years.
Well, that's what we're seeing all over the place is these court orders coming out of family court, they're not worth the paper they're printed on. They're completely unenforceable. You know, mine is about the same way. And I don't think Glenn's is much different.
Nope.
I would say this.
Well,
if your parenting plan was established in the last 2 years, I think that they're going to follow that a lot better. But these parenting plans that are 10, 15, and almost 20 years old, that haven't been modified the entire time, there's nobody paying any attention to that because status quo.
No. They're garbage. The only thing they pay attention to is money. You know, if it comes to collecting money, especially for from dad, they're all about that.
Well, and on top of it, because of the federal rules related to child support, Idaho has tacked on an additional $25 per year to my child support requirements simply because they're involved.
Yeah.
Because my ex-wife is on welfare, food stamps, to facilitate her being able to feed her, you know, five children.
Well, it's been falling on deaf ears, but, you know, Travis, you know, it still goes back to what Glenn and I, we talked about a number of years ago, is that this parental alienation and this kind of crap that's happening to you and Glenn and everybody out there needs to be criminalized. You know, what this it's insidious child abuse. Parental alienation is equivalent to child abuse, and there are experts, psychologists coming out of our ears now that agree with that. So if it is child abuse, why is it going untreated? It's being treated with impunity. I've brought this up to legislators and all that kind of thing, and they throw up their hands and they say, no, we can't prosecute parental alienation for child abuse.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I got a question for them. You know, in your case, Travis, you know, let's rewind back 10 years. You know, if Mommy Dearest was thinking about moving 800 miles away to Idaho, and she knew, and she was thinking in her pea brain, gee, I could move to Idaho. But what happens if I get thrown in prison for a year for parental alienation, child abuse? Gee, maybe that's not a good idea. Maybe I had better stay here where my son's and daughter's father could see them. I mean, it's really that simple to me. You know, it won't cure everything. But, I mean, if Mommy Dearest knows she could do a year in prison, you know, for doing this kind of crap, maybe a lot of it would stop. And that's the way it needs to be treated, you know, is that, you know, the custodial parents out there thinking about this stuff, it's obviously going through their head. And the other part of it, while it's going through their head, is that what nobody is talking about is these kinds of people are sociopaths. They don't give a crap about what's happening to the child. All they know is that they want to do some damage. And they don't care if the damage happens to the children as long as the damage happens to their former partner.
Well, and using the damage to the children as a way of getting back at and punishing the other parents.
Well, yeah, and the insidious part of that is the children have absolutely nothing, zero to say about any of it. And they don't even know what's going on. All they know is, gee, I used to be able to see my dad, you know, every week or two for a few hours anyway, and now I can't see him at all. I haven't seen him for a year, you know, and that's about all they know.
Well, and as far as I can tell, my children have been fed the line that it's because I don't want to see them or I don't care enough to make an effort. Yet my oldest son living with me knows that that's completely opposite of what's true.
Yeah, and that's the kind of toxic poisoning, you know, that a lot of times it takes a lifetime to untangle. You know, a lot of times we can never untangle it because if they really bite the hook and really believe that, you know, we got the whole barrier of parental alienation to overcome before we can even refute that or correct it.
Well, and that's what I've worked on with my oldest son is I've just simply done my best to talk to him and be part of his life through phone conversations. My youngest son has exhibited absolutely no interest in having, you know, communication with me to the point where He's a runner, just like I was when I was in high school. And I was just told by my ex-wife that he broke his six-minute mile for the first time, but he never bothered to call me and share that with me because he didn't feel it was, you know, important enough. And I attribute that a lot to the way that she has raised him and talked about me over the years. Trying to help she lives in a hard time.
Yeah, and my son's the same way. My son lives, you know, the last time I heard anyway, lives about 15 minutes away from me. I've seen him about 10 minutes in the last seven and a half years. You know, he doesn't call, doesn't write, doesn't answer emails, doesn't answer phone call. I don't even have his phone number, you know, if I wanted to call. But, you know, there was about six, 7 years where I was having some kind of regular contact, and he was thriving. He was almost a straight-A student, you know, when he was in late grade school, junior high, and then she fed him full of ADHD drugs, you know, which is nothing but speed, you know, marketed to our you know, big pharma companies. And at that point, you know, I could see it on his face, man. He turned into a different person. He was angry, explosive, you know, flunked out of school. He was doing crap in school, you know, that I was concerned about, you know, and tried to get some attention to it, you know, and the courts wouldn't listen to anything. They wouldn't listen to anything. When he was 13 years old, he had lost 30 pounds at the age of 13 years old because of the amphetamines they were feeding him. He was, his clothes were hanging on him. He looked like an Ethiopian skeleton. And I tried to get this back as a health emergency in family court, and they would not hear it. They turned around and vilified me. You know, and at that time, I hadn't seen him for a good year and a half when I tried to get that back into court. I mean, that's the insanity of this. Yeah, I don't know, man. Sometimes, you know, I wonder, you know, how this is really going to end. It is going to end somehow, you know. But you know, I go back to the criminalizing parental alienation model. That's the only solution I can see how any of this is going to get straightened out. But that's the only way it's going to happen. And the legislators, the state legislators, you know, they don't want anything to do with it.
Logically, you know, you could, in theory, you could sue your ex-wife for parental alienation and use that study as evidence of the effect of child abuse and go after her for the psychological damage that she's caused to your son, even if you don't have a relationship with him. And if that goes through court, you know, if wishes were fishes, you theoretically could then turn around and press charges against her criminally, utilizing that parental alienation issue as your, you know, sounding board for what she's done.
Well, that's interesting you say that, you know, because the attorney that I'm working with here in Florida has repeatedly advised me that I got a tort suit that, you know, that I need to file. And whether that's in state court or federal, probably going to be federal.
Well,
but
in your situation, Gary,
the strategy that he's pointing out.
Yeah, and in your situation, Gary, honestly, if you were to win that suit against your ex-wife for parental alienation, you could probably then take that exact same issue, that decision against her, and use it against the Child Support Enforcement Agency for their dereliction of duty of enforcing that parenting plan, because they're supposed to be that mediator, which gets us right back to the topic we were talking about at the very beginning of the call, is the whole parenting plan is geared towards the custodial parent continuing to have some sort of, you know, cash cow situation.
Yeah, I think you're right. I agree with that. I think it could be used and it should be used, you know, and I hope that more of us non-custodial parents are going to learn, you know, what some of those options and rights are available to us. I'm hopeful this last round, you know, that came out this year in Florida is going to make a difference, but we're still pretty early in the game and there's a lot of ground to cover, you know, as far as publication of the new laws so people even know about them.
Sure. Well, hopefully that case in Missouri that you told me about where child support had their, you know, gluteus maximuses handed to them for violating the parenting orders is something that can be used against the child support agencies in your local area.
Yeah, and since all this is pretty much money-driven anyway, you know, like Glenn is always saying, follow the money, you know, is that if we start coming after the money part of this, you know, and do some financial damage and expose these people, you know, for doing crap like that, you know, at that point, you know, they're going to think twice, you know, if some of them get, you know, disbarred as attorneys, you know, get liens put on their houses because they got 1983 damages or something like that, you know, then we're going to start making some progress. But it's not going to be an easy road either.
Sure. Well, I hope that your case is something that can be used for that because, you know, the amount of crap that they've pulled in your case, holy cow, your case is going to be a benchmark for years to come of what not to do when dealing with an out-of-state person or, hell, even an in-state person to follow that for your rule.
Well, I was up in Tampa talking to another attorney up there even this afternoon, and I was trying to get, you know, some sense of direction as far as the procedural, you know, aside from the subject matter, you know, and inevitably, you know, the conversation wanders into the subject matter, you know, and he couldn't hardly believe his ears when I started telling him about what's going on. You mean you went through 12 years of this crap, you know, and they're telling you that you should have a $850 a month reduction in your child support, and for 12 years you can't get a hearing?
Yeah, right.
And he looks at me like the RCA dog. Are you crazy? No, I'm not crazy. That's real life, man. That's history. That's what this family court has done. Glenn, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm taking it all in, man. There is nothing new here. We're beating the same drums, and you know, as I was telling you earlier, a lot of people opt out a lot earlier than this, man. Travis, good to see you're still hanging in there after 18 years. I do have a question though.
Sure.
How was the transition from the brainwashing on your 18-year-old to the time that he moved in with you? I mean, how was your relationship prior to him moving in? I know the 16-year-old you're not talking too much, but did you have a better relationship with the older son during these times?
I would say that my ex-wife pretty much sort of did it to herself. I can distinctly, to give you an idea of this issue. So similar to Gary, my ex-wife got my oldest son onto ADHD meds, claiming that he was an ADHD kid, yet this kid could sit down and read books like nobody's business. He's incredibly intelligent. And I remember going down one day to pick them up to hang out with them for the weekend. And she had just had a young baby, probably less than 6 months old, and we were all sitting, us adults were sitting around talking, and he was probably, I don't know, 12 years old at the time. And so he goes, "Hey, Mom, can I have my cap gun to go play?" And she goes, "No, I'm busy feeding the baby right now." He goes, "Oh, well, I can feed the baby for you." So he sits down, and I'm watching him, and he's, you know, feeds the baby and, you know, uses the spoon to wipe the chin with anything that spills out, you know, being very attentive and, you know, very caring with the child, et cetera, et cetera. When the baby's done, cleans the baby up, cleans the high chair up, puts everything away, gets it all done, comes back to his mom and says, "Mom, can I have my cap gun now?" And she basically yells at him and goes, "Is that the only reason that you agreed to help, is so that you could have your cap gun?" And I watched my son curl into a ball on the floor and sink his head into his knees and bury his face. Meanwhile, she continues talking without saying anything to him, gets up, grabs his cap gun, and reaches over and hands it to him and doesn't say a word to him.
They just have those evil genes in them for some reason. I haven't figured it out yet.
So to answer your question, all I've tried to do this entire time is just be myself, be real with my son. And when he moved in with me, I stopped trying to protect her and started telling him what actually happened.
Well,
because I no longer had to worry about repercussions from her.
Yeah, and you know, hopefully that doesn't backfire, and hopefully he'll have a better understanding. And if he gets a chance to talk to his younger brother, it might work in your favor of what the real truth is.
I don't think that my youngest son really has an interest in having a relationship with me, as I've stated before. He's planning on being a surgeon, and I think I called him on his birthday to wish him a happy birthday, and I haven't heard from him since, and that was back in December.
No, I was thinking of your older son continuing his relationship with his younger brother.
They can't stand each other because my youngest son is the golden child that can never do anything wrong.
Got it. Okay. Enough said.
Well, one thing that comes to my mind, you know, hopefully going forward, you know, on a more positive note, you know, just kind of reaching back out of my own experiences, one thing that I tend to think that may help our kids, you know, if and when we do get an opportunity, you know, to be able to give them some course guidance, you know, in their life. You know, with me at that age, you know, I didn't have a clue what I, you know, what to do either, you know, what I was good at, what I wasn't good at, you know, or anything else. But, you know, later on, when I went back to college, you know, I learned something from the counseling, you know, the class counseling, there's a test out there for skills and abilities. And the test is called Myers-Briggs. And what it does is it does personality tests and skills and abilities tests, you know, as a roadmap, you know, for each person to find out how we're wired, you know, how we're built, you know, what we're good at, what we're not good at. You know, so, for example, you know, by that time, you know, I'd already been, you know, a technician in technology for about 15 years or something like that. You know, so I knew, you know, I had to be good at that part, you know, because I had to, you know. But what I found out from the Myers-Briggs is it wasn't necessarily natural. I was not a natural at that. I had to put in a hell of a lot of work, you know, to be even as successful as what I got. But what I did find out, you know, that surprised me a lot is that I was good at writing. I was good at reasoning, you know, at logical reasoning. And so subsequently to that, I changed my major from computer science to broadcast journalism. And I found out, and when I did that, my grades went up, you know, and I did a lot better in school. I was a lot happier. You know, I didn't have to work as hard at it and got better grades. But I'd like to pass that on, you know, to us here. And if anybody's listening, hopefully somebody is. But, you know, just as a helpful roadmap going forward for something that we can not only tap into that, you know, the Myers-Briggs for ourselves, but also for our kids, so that, you know, at a young age, they don't have to wait till they're 40 or 50 years old to find out what they're good at you know, they can take that test now, you know, and it might take, you know, 4 to 8 hours to complete something like that. But the payoffs are huge on that, you know. And so I want to encourage people out there, anybody that's listening, to take that test and just find out, you know, how we're wired. You know, even with that, you know, I believe that God made us in a certain way. You know, each one of us are different with a different set of skills. And when we find out what those skills are, I think we're better off and everybody else around us is better off. But we got about 2 minutes and 50 seconds here. So we'll think about wrapping it up. What do you think, Glenn?
Well, you know me. We leave it to higher power. And I still pray for all the parents that are still suffering under this tyrannic judicial system of ours. That Father's Day is coming up. It's just catastrophic devastation across this country that the press never picks up. They could care less about it.
No, they don't. Yeah. Neither does the churches. You know, I'm not gonna let the churches off the hook.
Yeah, I mean, and I would love to see a family court judge in a church. I mean, I think he would probably melt. I mean, I don't get the audacity of the courts towards parents, especially, you know, parents. It just seems to me that the harder we fight and the more we question their illogical reasoning and bad decisions and unlawful decisions and not holding up the Constitution, the worse it gets for us. I don't get it.
We got to bet.
There's no
80
no,
seconds,
there's
folks.
There's no white knight.
No, there isn't. We need somebody like Trump only in the family court.
Yeah, and I had mentioned this before at quite a time, is that we need a federal task force to secretly sit in on these courtrooms and do a 3 or 6 month investigation and then just come in with warrants and arrest all the fucking judges. Excuse my English. Get me going. They need to be taken down. The high conflict attorneys who don't uphold our constitutional rights, the judges who don't, and the bailiffs in the room who also took that oath that just sit by because they're scared shitless of the judge as well. Nobody's got any balls.
We got about 30 seconds here. Travis, what do you got to say?
Not a whole lot. I'm just along for the ride.
Just been there, done that, and bought the T-shirt, huh?
And burned it and bought another one.
Yeah. Well, we got about 15 seconds, 10 seconds. Thanks you guys for calling in and sharing. And we'll hope it happens soon and hope it helps some other people. We're on.
All right, Travis. Nice hearing and speaking with you this evening.
Thank you. You too.
Well, I have any idea other than you two, you know, who was listening, but I did send it out. So I probably won't find out for about 3, 4, or 5 days how many people. But it's there anyway.
All right. We'll talk to you later.
All right. Thanks, y'all.
Bye.
Hey, what's going on?
I had no intentions of getting on your show today, but you kind of forced me into it.
Well, you got ambushed, I guess, huh? That's what an ambush is.
I just got totally ambushed.
Well, that's good. You got to spill your beans and get the word out, you know. You know, it might not be to that many people. It could be just you and me and Glenn. But, you know, we get to toot our horn once in a while. So it's a way to do it, you know. But, you know, sometimes I'm surprised. This one show that I did a couple of weeks ago, you know, I got totally surprised on that. Yeah, and that was when this one SO friend of mine, you know, he decided to go on the show as an anonymous SO. But, you know, the traffic on that went up through the roof. I got about almost 1,400 people listening to it.
Yeah. Well, to be honest with you, dude, if I can get through the – so she's trying to say that parents or the child support has to be enforced until he either – turns 18 or graduates high school, whichever's later, which means I'm still on the hook for 2 more years of high school.
For your oldest son?
For my youngest.
Yeah. But why hasn't it gone down, though, if your oldest one is 18?
Because I told you, because it's a modified form. It's not a standard form, so I'd have to go back to court in order to modify it. She seems to think that the price is going to go up because I make more money now. And I said, holy crap. What the hell? Sorry, I'm watching a video. This guy's riding along in traffic on a motorcycle, and a tire comes out of nowhere and knocks him right off his motorcycle and helmet off and everything.
Wow.
Anyways, she seems to think that it's going to go up, but she doesn't seem to understand that I'm married. I have financial responsibilities outside of the 2 children that I had with her. And I'm taking care of 2 children that their father's supposed to pay child support, and he hasn't paid in over 7 years. And I think the 2 years before that as well. So he owes my ex, my current wife, like, well over $10,000. And has never paid.
Well, in the big picture, though, you know, you need to check that out. Because what, you know, depends on the attitude of the court. You know, if all they're thinking about is dollar signs in their eyes, you know, they just may figure, well, yeah, she's right. He's making more money now, and he's married, so we can combine their income and then scalp them both, you know, and to heck with the dependents. You know, we don't care about that. You know, as long as we can jack him for all we can get, you know, now that we got a combined income we can grab. You know, sometimes they think like that.
Well, you know, and like I would tell the court is, then great, we'll take this all the way to the state Supreme Court. And if we have to, we can go to the federal court. But I'm not taking this crap anymore. I'm not taking this crap where I'm not allowed to see my kids for but once a year. One 24-hour period every 365 days.
Well, you know, I tend to go back to, you know, to the federal side, you know, to doing these child support audits, you know, and it sounds to me like, you know, this would be good timing for you to contact, you know, the child support enforcement and have them do an audit. And they may not even know what you're talking about. You know, they'll probably look at you like you're a moon man, you know?
Yeah, probably wouldn't know what I'm talking about.
But when they do that, you know, then you got them by the short hair. Because then you can tell them what the laws are that they're not complying with and they haven't complied with. Because you told me before that they've never done an audit. That's a requirement by federal law. Every 4 years, they're supposed to do an audit to make sure that child support complies with the guidelines. It's a requirement. It's not discretionary.
Well, that's something I'll probably have to look into and maybe use that as a bargaining chip because
And what they will do is that they'll go through you know, the income, expenses, and all that kind of thing, and plug it into their meat grinder and spit out a number of what the child support is supposed to be. And if there's a downward modification, they're required to modify downward.
Yeah.
You know, and so at that point, that's a change of circumstance. Then the squabble factor is gone. You know, it's no longer, you know, he said, she said, you know, coulda, shoulda, woulda, crapola, that's all gone. You know, that's when that audit gets issued, that's the change of circumstance. All the crap in the past is gone. All the discovery, the ability to pay, all that is settled, because that is a change of circumstance right there in paper. And when that happens, then the courts, the state courts, are obligated, you know, just like the Missouri case, they're obligated to comply with the guidelines, child support. They can't invent their own guidelines that they've been doing to all of us for forever. They're not supposed to do that. And nobody knows
yeah.
that. But that's what they've done. As a matter of fact, you know, now in Florida, what they've done is that they have put a prerequisite into the family court rules to where the family courts are required to issue a parenting plan with specific parenting plan. I mean, percentages, days of week, holidays, and summers, and all of that before they even address child support. You know, and so I go back to that. You know, I think there's some argument there to say that, you know, if these new rules they've got ever start getting some momentum, you know, they could really change the whole landscape of family court. Because what we're not getting or enforceable, you said you got, you know, a basic skeleton of a parenting plan or whatever
oh, yeah.
it is. You know,
My ex-wife wrote it.
Oh, shit.
It's a documentation and wrote it. Freaking, like I said, so he was like four and a half years old. So that's 14 years ago that my oldest son, how old are you? He was like four and a half years old when our parenting plan was written.
That's ridiculous. You know, you don't let one of the parties write the parenting plan.
Well,
you know, that's the job of the court.
I didn't know, you know what I'm saying?
Well, what I'm saying, though, is that Florida finally got a clue. You know, in the Florida Supreme Court wrote, embedded into the family court rules, a template, like I was talking about, that for parenting plan. And one of the first letters in the first sentence at the top of the first page says a word called required. This is required before you go any further. And so having that there, you know, that's huge, because what we are not getting is specific parenting time. You know, is it? I didn't get that. I never, in 18 years, I never got specific parenting time. You know, I mean, you know, like 3 days a week, you know, every other Sunday, every other Saturday, holidays, summers, and that kind of thing. That was never spelled out for me. And what they did is that they used the Stigma Plus to totally hijack, you know, the parenting plan. And so, so when they did that, they found out also that I was in deep pocket. So they hotwired the child support up to the highest maximum they could jack me for, and then never changed it. Even after the audits were done, you know, two different audits saying that it should have been lowered, you know, by probably about $800 a month in each audit. They never did.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what I want to get across to other people, you know, that are having child support problems, because now, you know, when I hear about child support issues, I go back to these audits. You know, now I just found out about these things not that long ago, you know, in the last couple of years. And even knowing that, man, I've had to, you know, get into some serious conversations with this attorney I'm working at, you know, who does family law.
Yeah.
You know, he just refused to absolutely believe it, that state and federal law requires these audits. And I told him, I said, look, these are changes of circumstance, you know, and he still refused to believe it until he read it, reread it, and did his own research. Now he's finally come along. But, you know, the child support enforcement, they don't want to hear that. You know, the AG's response was, well, we can't do all that work. We can't do it. We don't have the manpower to do audits every 3 years. Well, tough shit, lady. You know, that's the law. Get her done. Roll up your sleeves and do it. You know, don't whine to me about what you can't do. That's the frickin' law. You know, they're wrecking our families and wrecking our lives because they're not obeying the law what it ought to be. I mean, that doesn't even require a change in law. We don't have to get out there marching in the street with a bullhorn. We just got to learn what's already there and start exercising it. And that's federal, man. That applies to Washington just as much as it does Florida.
Really, truthfully, hoping that this just blows over nice and easy, and that I don't have to go to court to fight all this fight. I'd rather it just be done and over with.
Well, I know, and I'm hoping the same thing, you know, but it's not turning out that way.
Well, if it doesn't turn out that way, dude, I'll fight like tooth and nails, because I am not going to end up paying more money. Because, you know, What crappy parenting plan I do have that's from 14 years ago before they were even in preschool says that I have right to see my kids, but she has made zero effort and in many cases hindered my ability to hang out with my children. So, you know, I'm sorry, but I've got a lot of back child time that I should have, and my child's support should reflect that.
Well, see,
if I get to see my kids, I shouldn't have to pay child support.
Well, see, what you're talking about, you know, I've done some research on my own on the Florida-based stuff, which, you know, from a bird's-eye level isn't that much different than Washington. The way the child support works, and I'm sure you probably know, is that, you know, that both parents' incomes gets plugged into a mathematical formula, you know, of what parenting time each parent gets what, and then that spits out a number and multiplies that percentage that equals child support. Well, what's happening there is, like in your case, is that regardless of what it says in your parenting plan, you're not getting it. You know, so when you're not getting it, there is some Florida case law out there that says because parent A or non-custodial parent isn't getting his parenting time, that's a change of circumstance, and we need to modify child support. And some of it in Florida even modifies it retroactively.
Well, if you really boil it down, I mean, if you seriously boiled it down, this is contract law 101. It is a contract between parents with an intermediary in the middle, known as the court.
Right. Yeah, right. That's true. I totally agree with that.
If one side of the equation breaks the contract, there are repercussions from the opposite side of the contract.
Yeah, right.
And that's literally what we're dealing with. Okay? So your ex-wife alienated you, stole your child, ran across the country with him, right? Broke the contract.
Yeah, right.
So this is a contract law situation. This isn't a parenting plan. No, it's not. A parenting plan is a contract between two people who have a disagreement on whether they should be married or not.
Yeah, right.
So under contract law, there are repercussions. You don't allow me to see my children, then under contract law, I shouldn't have to pay until you let me see my children.
Yeah, and if you really do the homework, well, no, you're right. If you really do the deep dive, you know, into the legal research, you know, some of that, which is what I've done, that's what some of the case law does say. Some of it, they don't give a crap. You know, all they do is say, I don't give a crap, you know, non-custodial parent, whether you see your kid or not, you know, you're just going to get jacked for child support. There are those kinds of cases out there.
And that's when you say, objection, this is a contract.
Well, what is sticking, though, is like those cases is what you're talking about. And that's, it escapes me now, but it's child concealment, a lot of what it is. That's the word for it. And some of that, what's happening is that mommy dearest takes the child to some unknown location and the non-custodial parent never finds it.
Oh, my God. I didn't even think of this. Okay. Are you ready for this? Hear me out. So there's this little known fact of law, this little known thing in law called Trover. Okay. Basically, a tenant inside of a landlord's home fails to pay rent and the landlord kicks them out, right? If the landlord takes their belongings, takes them all the way across town or even into the next town over, puts them into a storage unit and then doesn't properly tell the person where their stuff's at, they're illegally attempting to take possession of that person's property and then gain from it by selling it. Okay?
I think I see where you're going.
Let's take the humanity out of the parenting plan and let's look at this merely as parental property.
Which is exactly what common law does. In common law, the child is a piece of property.
Can't enter into contracts. The child can't enter into anything like that. The parents have to make those decisions, right?
Right.
So, is it not true that your ex-wife took your child in an effort to withhold him from you in such a fashion as to block you from enjoying that parental right to the tune of whatever the child support amount that you have to pay is? Are they not committing trover of your child in an effort to stick it to you?
Well, whatever you call it, trover or not, that's exactly what's happened. Yeah, I've not heard of trover, but it sounds like it's worth looking into.
Well, let me do a Google search for this real quick. Okay, Wikipedia, the greatest piece of trash on the internet, says trover is a form of a lawsuit in common law countries for recovery of damages for wrongfully taking of personal property. Trover belongs to a series of remedies for such wrongful taking, and distinctive features being recovery only for the value of whatever was taken, not for the recovery of the property itself. Could you not sue for trover of your ex-wife for the value of the child support you had to pay because you were not allowed to see your son?
Wow. Yeah. No kidding. Probably loss of wages.
You could try that. Let me see if I can find trover in the U.S. English case law, United States. These are old. Here's one from 1902. Hang on. Oh, come on, you butthead. I texted Becky Hudson earlier to see what's going on, because today is June 11th, and it is now 6:22, and Michael was supposed to be released an hour and 22 minutes ago.
Oh, no kidding. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, I've kind of lost track of the timing on that.
43, yeah, right? Okay, 1946. The California Supreme Court decided the case of Quasi Trover with the following facts, where plaintiff Zaslow and defendant Cronert owned a house in, as tenants in common. A dispute arose over the ownership of the house. The defendant and her agent entered the house and changed the locks. They replaced Zaslow's proper, or they placed Zaslow's property in storage. Zaslow was notified of the placement of his property in storage and its location. Plaintiff Zaslow sued and prevailed in an action of conversion. The California Supreme Court ruled that merely placing furniture in storage was not a conversion. There was no evidence that any damage had occurred to the furniture in storage. The case was remanded to the trial court to determine damages caused by the ouster and trespass of the personal property. So the point is that what damages have occurred to you by not having that time with your son?
What you're talking about is what property damages.
Yes, but you have a property right or a property interest in the right to associate with your son per the parenting plan.
Right.
She violated the parenting plan. She has committed Trover in an effort to convert your parenting rights into her own rights. Okay, so this is just Wikipedia. Let me see if I can find you something else. How about the lawdictionary.org?
Yeah, that's, I think that's Black's. Black's.
Yeah,
featuring
Black's Law, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so the lawdictionary.org says, Trover is common law practice. The action of Trover, or Trover and conversion, is a species of action on the case and originally lay for the recovery of damages against a person who has found another's goods and wrongfully converted them to his own use. Subsequently, the allegation of the loss of the goods by the plaintiff and the finding of them by the defendant was merely fictitious, and the action became the remedy for any wrongful interference with or detention of the goods of another. That sounds like gobbledygook bullshit to me,
yeah.
But there's a whole pile of case law there.
Right.
That's not what I understood, but whatever. Let me go try another here.
Well, the principle of it, you know, sounds reasonable.
Yeah. I mean, she basically converted your personal interest right in your child into her own interest.
Well, yeah, and it wasn't even into her own interest, but
it
was a property.
The time that was allotted to you?
Well, yeah, it's time and everything, but what she did, she converted the whole thing into a property interest for her.
I understand that. And that's what I'm saying, is what damages have been sustained to you?
So then what is conversion? What do they mean when they say conversion? What are they talking about?
Hang on. Okay. All right. How about definitions.uslegal.com? This might be better. It says, Trover is an action brought to recover the value of personal items or property wrongfully converted by another to his own use. The action...
Wow.
Yeah, you see what I'm saying?
Well, converted, yeah, I caught the word converted. Converted there.
Yeah. The action seeks a remedy for the conversion, not the taking of the item. The remedy sought is the replacement value of the property before it was converted to another's use. The defendant is in a conversion action is someone who found the item. The defendant cannot be a bailee who lost the item or destroyed it through negligence. In the case of negligent loss, the action is more properly brought as one in negligence. Trover has been replaced by an action for conversion in modern law. She has converted your right to parenting, your parenting time, into her own right.
Into a property right.
The child support value you have paid over the last however many years, she converted that value into her own right.
Into dollars and cents. Wow, wow.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do.
It just dawned on me. I didn't even think of this before.
Well, that's very interesting. Well, that's very interesting because the roots of it go back into common law, the Trover.
Oh, gosh,
you know, which,
yeah. Dude, they go back into English law hundreds of years. That's not something new.
And so the updated version of that is conversion. You know,
correct.
where she's converting my parenting time into dollars and cents for her.
Yeah, yeah, she's converted that time. So basically, if you look at it this way, you have a contract with her for parenting time. In exchange for parenting time, you have to pay X amount of dollars per month. Right? So she converted that time into her own time and blocked you from having that time, but it's still requiring you to pay that money. So she's converted the time and enjoyed the value of the money for however many years.
Right.
So the point is why can't you sue for that money back because she blocked you from having time with your son?
Well, I just got told again, you know, today by Mark, you know, that I need to file a tort suit probably in federal court on this stuff. You know, because we go around and around, you know, about this excessive overpayment of child support.
All right, listen. The word is Trover, T-R-O-V-E-R. Trover and conversion. If you look it up, bring it up to Mark, show him the truth, and see if he feels that that is appropriate. Because if it is, and if I'm right, dude, you can sue her for the entire batch of child support that you've paid since she has stopped you from seeing your son, which was how long ago?
Yeah, it's been 7.5 years now.
What about the taking your son across country?
Well, if you count that, you know, it's 19 years.
Okay, then. So how much child support have you paid over the last 19 years?
Well, so far it's been about $110,000, something like that.
Okay. So shouldn't you be able to sue for $110,000 plus court costs?
Plus damages, treble
damages.
And attorney fees? Conversion, man. That's what we're talking about.
Am I far off from my thought process here?
Sounds like you're right on target.
I mean, you could talk to a lawyer and they might be like, oh, well, this is a human being we're talking about. And you'd be like, I'm sorry, but he wasn't 18. He's not an adult. Therefore,
no.
He is the property of his parents. Right?
Right.
So as long as he was property of his parents, you have been injured. Are you following my thought process?
Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah.
I'm not saying I'm right. I'm just saying it's a thought process.
Well, yeah, it's a thought process. But, you know, when you put the puzzle pieces together, you know, and weigh it against rational logic, you know, it makes sense.
Well, I'm looking at it this way, dude. Why can't I sue for Trover in the same fashion?
Yeah, you probably can.
Because my ex-wife, dude, glaring example, all right? Do you know where Raymond Washington is?
I believe so, yeah.
Do you know where Aberdeen is?
Yeah.
Raymond Washington is about 30 miles south of Aberdeen.
Oh, okay.
It's about an hour and 15 minutes from Long Beach. Like due east, an hour and 15 minutes. Okay? So, my ex-wife lived in Raymond for a long time, probably 6 or 7 years before she moved. I had to save up money not only to pay child support at the tune of $416.78 a month. I also had to save up the gas money, which would be at least a full tank of gas because 120 miles each way, plus time while we were there, right? I would drive out on a Friday night, pick my kids up at 9 o'clock in the morning, hang out with them until 6 o'clock in the afternoon, and then I would drive the 2 hours back home. Once a month, if I was lucky. Usually once every month and a half to 2 months. Because that's the only thing that I could afford to do. Right? She did not make an attempt to meet me halfway. 98% of the time, I had to drive out there. Could I not sue Patrol her for the damages of that, plus the parenting plan issues?
Well, yeah, I got to wonder just what kind of traction we could get on this.
I mean, it's a thought process, and you'd have to do it in civil court, not criminal.
Well, I've heard so little about conversion. I have heard of it, but, you know,
sure.
You know, not done anything about even thinking about it. You know,
oh,
but
sure,
But
and I'm not saying that it's a guaranteed answer to everything. I'm just saying it's a thought process that just literally popped in my brain here not that long ago. So, I'm just saying, I mean, has she not converted your property interest in your child into her own benefit?
Well, absolutely, no. And they converted it, you know, royal, you know, with this alleged arrears.
Well, and that's what I'm getting at with your ex. Is,
right.
Could you not go after the state for perpetrating the fraud against you?
Well, that's exactly what I'm going at. Yeah,
yeah.
And that's what I keep getting from Mark. You know, he told me again today I need to take this to federal court on a 1983. You know,
sure.
And he kind of backs off on that word fraud, but I don't back off on it. You know, I think it's absolutely fraud, and not only that, it's fraud upon the court, and it's a Social Security fraud. You know, they're taking
it.
Go ahead.
Let me plant a seed in your brain. Let's not go after them for 1983. Let's not call it fraud upon the court. Let's not do any of that bullshit yet. Go after them. Go after her for Trover. Prove that she had some nefarious intent for converting your time, your property interest, in the time with your son into her own benefit, right? Then take that decision and use it as evidence against the state, coupled with the Missouri lawsuit against CPS or Child Support Enforcement for failing to follow the rules, coupled with the audit issue, and show that Child Support of Florida has intentionally, fraudulently, and willfully defrauded you of tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars over the course of the last however many years.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. Yeah, I see that.
Because once you have all that stuff lined up in a row, then you can not just go after them for the 1983 stuff, but also from a criminal side of things as well.
Well, for conversion and for the fraud, is that
well,
those audits?
The conversion, not them. But the failure to follow the guidelines and rules and regulations that caused you massive damages. and your son. Because if you take the high road and say, my son was damaged, I need to be recompensed for the money that I have lost and the energy and the time and the court systems and the vexatious litigant bullshit that I've had to deal with and all of this. I have had issues. But my son lost his father. What price tag does this state put on fatherhood? Because I have a court order that states that I was supposed to pay over $110,000. Is my son not entitled to that money for being wrongfully denied his father by not enforcing the parenting plan?
So what they have done, they have turned the fatherhood role into a cash cow, into a bucket of money.
Sure. I agree.
Wow, that's something to think about.
It is, and I'm not saying it's going to work. I'm just saying it's a thought process.
Well, knowing your thought processes, they usually get some kind of traction somewhere.
Well, I hope so.
Well, yeah, I think you do good. You do well.
Well, anyways, I got to go take care of my dog and all that kind of fun stuff, so.
All right, well.
For you, and
yeah.
We'll probably talk another time soon.
Yeah, all right. Well, thanks for calling in, and thanks for the brainstorming.
Sure. Always, dude. You know I'm always down for brainstorming with you.
All right.
All right, dude. Have a good night.
Yeah, you too. Thanks.
All right, bye.
Bye. Thank you.